All right, Charles, go again on the intro here. Okay. I won't interrupt you.
Thank you, Miles. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast, sponsored by Fleet Farm.
It's presented by Fleet Farm.
Does it matter if it's presented or sponsored?
No.
Honestly, Miles, just let me live my best life, okay? So, anyway, today we're at the Wild Rice Bar and Grill. Fantastic deal in Wild Rice, North Dakota. And, you know, we're going to jump in. We're going to take some callers soon. But before we do that, you know, just a little banter between me and your fearless host, Miles, the You Betcha guy. Miles, today, I think we should talk about shorts.
Okay.
Men's shorts.
I am wearing shorts today. You're wearing pants.
I'm wearing
pants. You're more of a pants guy than I am.
Well, to be honest.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, our size. I'm got a little more insulation on the inside, you know?
Yeah.
And so I tend to get a little bit warmer than you do on a hot day. So I got to go with shorts to try and keep me cool.
Yeah. I considered shorts today, but I don't know why I didn't go with them.
I'm going to be honest. The only pair of shorts I've ever seen you wear are those camo shorts you have.
The camo ones?
Do you have any other?
They're in my suitcase.
Do you have any other pairs?
I like to find my favorite pairs of the jeans and shorts. I really don't switch them out often.
Yeah.
I should wash them more. But anyway, what I think we should talk about with shorts is I'm noticing the fashion of men's shorts, especially this summer. This is the summer of shorter men's shorts. Are guys just really getting the idea that you can't skip leg day and now they're trying to show off what they've got going under there?
Well, I think it stems back in the day. I mean, men's shorts were basically just Speedos.
Yeah.
If you remember, the NBA went from the shortest shorts you could find to then the longest shorts you could find.
Yep.
And now it's kind of, I feel like, gone back to the middle.
Yeah.
And I think we're headed back towards the real short phase.
Yeah. To be honest with you, shorter shorts are more comfortable.
They are, yes.
Because they, you know, what I don't like when the long ones is they get over your knee, you know, and then
it's like tight when you sit down, you know?
Yeah.
It's stuck on your knee and the whole thing.
Yeah, so what is that bell? The food bell.
Soup's ready. Soup's on.
So what are you comfortable wearing yourself? How short can you go?
My favorite pair of shorts are like a 9-inch inseam.
9-inch inseam?
Which is a few inches above the knee.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good.
I mean, we're getting to 7. We're getting to 5-inch inseams going on with shorts. It's really getting up there.
And then they can't be too saggy, the shorts, when they're at that level, because things can get
And it's
flopping.
Tough because in the summer, you don't want to have too many varying short sizes.
Tan
lines. If you were to wear 11-inch shorts, you're not going to get any tan on the legs for a half a summer. Then all of a sudden, you get a new pair that's 7. I mean, you're going to have the whitest legs known to man.
But sometimes I think a little bit of a tan line, you know, it's kind of like,
oh, you're into tan lines. All right.
Well, I like a nice tan line on myself. I whistle at myself sometimes. You know, you don't want to see a hard and heavy one, kind of like the tan fade.
You want a nice fade from the knee on up.
What do you call it with hair when you get the hair thing and it goes from blonde to brunette or whatever? It starts with an M. Ombre.
Ombre.
It does not start with an M. There is an M in it, though. Yeah, if you get the ombre effect on the higher knee area, I kind of like that.
You know what? I'm going to come clean on this. I knew what the phrase was, but I didn't want to sound like I knew too much about that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that you,
Does Anne do the ombre effect?
No, ombre.
How did you know it?
I mean, it's just a common hair thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I knew that it existed. I just forgot the word. I'm more forgetful.
So
it's
I had
okay
to come
to
clean.
That.
I knew, and I paused to see if she would know, and she came through.
Well, good. Thank you very much. Do you like a car? You're going just 2 straight pockets. That's a tough thing with shorts. Oh, you got 3. You got this hidden pocket here.
Well, no, that's my regular
pocket. Oh, that's a big front pocket. I like zipper pockets because I like to bike and I'm active and I lose things all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I was up north recently and it was time to go the night before we were going to go. And I was like, Dad, have you seen my car key? And oh my gosh. You know, you never know how valuable something is. It's not about the cost, but it's about what it's worth to you. I would have paid so much money just to not lose my car key 400 miles from where my spare is, you know? So why don't I just keep track of it? And the reason...
I think most people don't lose their car keys or lock them in the trunk. Or anything like that.
You're really bringing that up, the husbands of Target thing? Yeah. Well, you know what, Miles? Did I lock it in my trunk?
Yeah.
Is that what
you
I
locked
did?
Your keys in your trunk, which was an absolute nightmare situation.
I'm an idiot. Yeah, I had to call AAA to get them back there. Yeah. Outside of Hayward, I was in Couderay, Wisconsin, and I almost had to call Charlie the key guy.
You got a key guy also named Charlie.
Charlie the key guy and over on the Chippewa Flowage. That was the guy I was going to call.
So, why aren't locksmiths stealing more stuff? I feel like they are, of anyone, they should be the one. It's kind of like funeral home people. They should be the ones murdering people.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are. Because
then they can dispose of the bodies easily. With
Ozark. You've seen it?
Exactly.
Like, they know what they're doing.
If you own a funeral home, you should be the one murdering people.
Yeah.
If you are a locksmith, you should be the one stealing it.
You should be the one breaking in. It's an art form, though, Miles, and it's an honor to be a locksmith, and they take that very seriously. It's like being the key guy at the Fleet Farm. You take that job very seriously. You would if it says do not duplicate, you got to look at the guy in the bugs and see if he's an honest fella before you decide whether or not to duplicate.
Have you gone through that before?
Yeah, they did not duplicate for me.
So, I won't ask what it was for.
It was for my home.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, that's the thing. If it says do not duplicate, how are you? What if you lose that one? What do you?
You know what you got to do is you got to scrape it off like a serial code. Sorry, we shouldn't say that. Let's edit that out. That'd be a felony. Anything with a serial number on it and you scrape it off, that is a felony. I'm not going to say. All right. Anyway.
PSA.
PSA. Yeah.
What I would do is I would just show them the key and have my thumb over the do not duplicate.
Oh, yeah.
And then like, no, I'll just put it in the machine for you. But yeah, I want to get this duplicated here.
Yeah.
And then you just...
Well, now...
And then once it's in the machine, I don't think that they take it out. So then you're golden from there.
Yeah. And now they do actually have the self-help machines, which they do not care if it says do not duplicate. Yeah. The robots do not... There are no morals in the robot key copiers. And that's why we need to keep the key man or
gal
employed.
So that's an industry
employed.
You think that we should not... innovate and have robots do it.
Absolutely not. Where is the honor in this world?
Apparently not in the robots. I can tell you that much.
No. Yeah. Well, that was nice. So, in conclusion, you like short shorts. Good to hear.
I like medium shorts.
Yeah.
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 Give me a nice pair of mediums, 9 to 7 inch inseam.
Is it ever okay to bike just wearing the tighties?
Yeah, I think it is. If you got the whole, if you got the tight shirt on too.
Yeah,
you can't be wearing a regular T-shirt with the shorts. That would be weird.
I've done that before. It looks like you're Donald Duck in it. You know. Yeah, it looks too goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those jerseys are expensive.
Yeah.
Those bike jerseys are like
you got to buy them used on eBay or something.
Yeah, but then you heat them up a little bit and you can smell the last fella's sweat. You know, it's like putting on a pair of shoes you get over at Goodwill or St. Vinny's. You're like, oh, this is a nice pair of shoes, but you get them heated up a little bit. You smell the dead guy. He's usually a dead guy, you know. I would do it for dress shoes. I was going to go to a wedding and I had to get some nice kicks. And because my old ones were not passing anymore.
You don't want to buy a pair of shoes from a funeral home. There's probably was a dead guy in those bad boys.
By the way, I mean, no one sees the shoes. Do you think they're wearing shoes there?
I imagine. I mean, I guess I don't know the process or what happened. I think that they just give it back to the family, clothes that they're wearing.
Do they? I don't know.
What do they just burn them with them or what?
They're not always burning them, dude. Sometimes they bury them.
I know, but if you like, what are they doing with those clothes?
Well, they bury them. Yeah, they're buried in those clothes.
They don't get buried in the clothes that they died in.
No, not the ones they died in.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. They donate them to St. Vinny's and I purchase them.
Oh, I guess I never even thought about that. That actually is what happens.
Yeah, huh? It's the clothing circle of life. Haven't you ever heard of estate sales?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I mean, that's what happens.
I'd much rather purchase like a dresser from a dead guy than his shoes or pants.
Yeah. Well, look, if you wash it, it's fine.
Yeah. A little bleach in there. If it's a white shirt, you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's not a white shirt, it's going to be a white shirt because you got to get it all out.
Yeah, you got to bleach that.
Well, I think we should take some calls.
Yeah. Not our best intro, but, you know, not
definitely
our
darkest, though.
It did get dark there. But, you know, people die.
People
die. And they die wearing clothes. Life. The circle.
I think we talked about that on this podcast that life is all about continually disappointing your parents until they die and then you die.
You should put that on a shirt and sell it at oubetcha.com.
Go to oubetcha.com. Don't go to the barons.com.
Mantwagman.com. Great shirts. Ope stuff.
All right. We're going to take some calls.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all answered.
Oh, yeah. Of course we answered. What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah, where are you from?
Yeah. I'm originally from the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Nice.
I could tell with that beautiful accent that you have there that you weren't from, Skokie.
I was about to say, I just moved to Michigan, so some people have caught on to the accent. Some people like it. Some people don't. So it's just kind of a hit or miss.
Well, come on. No one should not like that. Yeah,
don't pay attention to those people.
Sounds exotic.
You exactly.
It is.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We appreciate you.
Why don't you belly up to the bar with us and tell us what's on your mind?
Yes. So I feel like y'all have gotten this a lot recently. So if you don't want it, that's fine. But I just moved from Mississippi to Michigan 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with children with autism and I take care of dogs and I love it.
It's amazing work.
Yeah. I don't know how to date Midwestern men.
Oh.
And I need help.
Well, I don't either. So I'm going to have to tap out on this one.
Now I've dated a few and I can tell you this for starters. Okay. Now
Southern men are very different.
What are Southern men like?
Yeah, let's talk to us about the difference between Southern men, dating Southern men, and dating Midwest men.
Southern men are Southern men are a lot more direct.
Okay.
They're very, very strong. Like, you kind of, like, you know when they're in the room. Like, you can, like, they'll ask you on a date straight up, like no fear, like very fearless people.
Yeah. Okay.
Midwestern, I've learned.
Are weak and fearful. Yeah,
I don't
we
know.
Are weak
yeah.
and fearful.
Well, thanks for calling
people.
In.
Yeah, yeah. 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 No, go on. Tell us about Midwestern men.
How weak are we?
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if it's me because I am, I am more Southern. I'm a little bit louder, a little more energetic. And I don't know if I'm overwhelming someone. I don't know if it's my fault. But it kind of seems like with Midwestern men, I kind of scare them off. And so I was wondering if you have any advice about that.
Well, we are a frightful, politeful species. So,
you got to.
I feel like I'm being so mean.
No, you're being honest, and we need to hear it.
I think what you're trying to say is we're a little bit more eloquent creatures than the Southern men. Maybe they're a little bit more of a bull in a china shop. We're more of a deer in the woods, really. You got.
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah,
we're still powerful, Charlie. Right? Deer are powerful creatures. They can really gallop. They can get going.
Yeah,
they're beautiful. They're beautiful creatures.
They get shot a lot.
Y'all are very eloquent men. Very I will say that Southern men can be a bit aggressive.
So
and I think in that I'm a little bit aggressive, and so. It may be overwhelming.
So a Southern man might come up to you at the bar and say, what are y'all doing tonight? Why don't you come home with me? Would that be it? Whereas a Midwest guy would be like, hey there, how are you? hey, I like your shoes. Yeah. Them are real good. Did you get those from the Kohl's with Kohl's cash? But it means the same thing.
That's about right on the money. Yeah.
Now, do you want a Midwest guy to come up to you and say, hey, you know, geez Louise, you want to come on over to my place tonight? We'll listen to some polka.
I just smoked some beef jerky.
Yeah, I smoked some nice beef jerky. Oh, I got that in my garage. You know, we can have some beef jerky. And not, I mean, if you're into that, you know.
Yeah, I think on a first date, I wouldn't be coming over. But
no, I didn't.
But I love a good conversation. I like it when men approach me, but maybe it's just. I just kind of don't know how to be. I don't know how to, what is that word? Match y'all's eloquence. Because I just am just Southern and aggressive, and, you know, it can be a lot.
Got it. Yeah. So
I think we should stick with the deer analogy here. I think what you got to do is
the deer analogy.
Yeah. So you got to go to the, you got to do it just like you're hunting for deer. You got to, you got to find a spot in the bar. You're going to sit there a while. You're going to scope out the woods, you know. There's going to be some bucks that come in that you're going to have to pass on, you know. You're like, hey, I don't know if I'm not a big enough body and not a big enough rack on them, you know. And you're going to let them pass on through the woods, but you still got to stay vigilant in there. And then you're going to see your 30-point buck walk into the woods, and you're going to have one shot at this. Now, if you move too fast, you're going to scare him off. But if you don't move quickly enough, he's going to get away. So I think that that's maybe the best way to approach it. What would you think, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious when you, because you say you have a big personality. So when you walk up to a Midwest guy that you like, what are you saying to him that you're thinking might scare him off?
I think it's just that I'm very direct. I'm very straightforward. I'm very, you know, hey, how are you? My name is Sarah. And then I'm just kind of like, I go into it very quick. And it's like, what do you do? Okay, this is what I do. And I get deep very quick.
Yeah. What's a deep question?
It's very difficult for.
Yeah. Okay.
I was like, oh, I work with kids with autism and dogs, and this is why I love it. And then I'll just kind of like spiral into this deep reason for why I like things.
Yes.
And I just think it's overwhelming.
Yeah, you're stressing me out a little bit with that. So I can imagine how they feel with that. So what I want you to do is I want you to wait till you get on the first date to start diving into the deep reasons of why you are who you are. What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to make sure that you're just cracking some jokes, especially if they're maybe try out some dad jokes on some Midwest fellas. They're going to like that, I think.
Yeah. Okay, if y'all can tell me your best dad jokes, I'll use them.
Oh, geez. So,
I mean, I got a bunch.
Go for it. Maybe you're at the grocery store.
Come on, Miles.
Yeah, maybe you're at the grocery store. You meet him, and I did this in one of my videos. I think it can work. And you're in the lettuce section, and you ask the guy, hey, you want to help me pick out a head of lettuce? Because I think two heads are better than one. Right? And then you're going to want to pick up two heads of lettuce.
That's a real knee slapper right there.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, my goodness. I could do that. Yeah, I could do that.
There are dad joke books out there that you can find one of them. Now, I do have when you're are you finding that the Midwest fellas are not asking you out at all? Have you been asked out by a Midwest guy yet?
I have not, no. And I'm kind of wondering if it's because of my personality.
It's not your personality. Yeah, no. They're going to ask you out, but they're going to ask you out in a different way.
It's not going to sound like this. It's not going to be like, hey, you want to go out sometime? It's not going to sound like
that. It's going to sound something more like, hey, do you want to come over and check out my shingling? And then we'll take you over to the supper club, maybe, if you're feeling it. But if you don't want to, no worries at all.
They're going to be like, you know, I got 40 acres of land that I farm and this and that. And then that's when you're like, oh, I would love to see that sometime you know? And he's like, yeah, well, maybe. Oh. And then you got to slowly get into it, you know?
Because what they're thinking is you don't actually, that they're being overly polite, thinking you don't actually want to hang out with them. So they're going to give you outs. They're going to give you so many exit ramps along the way. But those are not saying that. The more exit ramps they give you, the more they like you.
Yes.
You know, because they're no pressure, you know, or nothing. But, you know, okay. If you do want to go.
And see, that's a culture shock for me because Southern men don't do that. So like just because, you know, they are so direct. And so with stuff like that, I'm like, maybe they don't want me to come. So I just kind of won't. And I'll just like leave them alone.
No.
You know what I mean?
You don't want to impose.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's used to if a guy wants to go on a date, they tell him that.
Yeah.
Midwest guys, they're not going to tell you anything that they want. You're just going to have to kind of hang around long enough until they are like, all right, let's do it. Let's go on a date.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that helps.
Does it?
Does it? I feel like Charlie and I are just grasping onto anything we can think of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think we gave you some insight, though.
Honestly, if you can slam a beer with them, too, they're going to love that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I just learned my last name means brewer of ale, brewer of beer, and I love beer. So I'm a huge beer drinker.
Oh, my God. That's how you lead in.
I love dating. I love, you know, dogs, and I work with kids, and so I'm all about it.
You are just a straight-up Midwest catch here.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, honestly,
I don't feel like one.
Lead with the beer thing. You can maybe be like, hey,
okay,
let's have a beer. And then you just slam it. And he's going to be like, holy shit, what do we got going on here? You know,
yeah.
His ears are going to perk up a little bit.
Point. I love beer.
Yeah. Maybe let's lead with actions instead of the voice. You know, you just lead in with just slamming a beer. Gotcha. And that's a great conversation starter.
Yeah, slam a beer.
Right. Instead of the Southern accent, lead with beer.
Well, you get up, you slam a beer. He's probably, that may disarm him enough to be like, ah, okay. Cripes, yeah. Let's go see a movie. Have you seen the new Top Gun?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
You
want to
know how it ends? Miles told me how it ended.
Oh, tell her, Charlie.
Yesterday.
Yeah, and you can tell me.
No. He spoiled it once. And then you don't want to spoil again. He spoiled it for me. I still haven't seen it yet, but.
Oh. Well, what
okay,
do you think?
Well, hey, I've got to get back to work. but thank y'all.
No, thank you.
Out, but I got to get back to my kiddos.
Okay, tell your kids we says hi, okay?
All right. Thank y'all.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Yeah. You could tell that. I mean, that call is exactly how Midwest guys are, right? You just keep talking around the topic instead of just giving direct advice.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we don't have to, but I was thinking maybe if you wanted to, we could go out. But honestly, if you're busy, no big deal.
Yeah. I think that's what she's talking about.
Yeah,
right?
It is. I do think it's a thing. The more a Midwest guy likes you, the more outs he's going to give you to not have to hang out with him.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah, it's a very backwards type of thing. Yeah. Also, you notice that she's from the South and how quickly that conversation ended. Everyone else we talked to on the Midwest is like, well, yeah, I suppose I better get going.
I feel like I offended her.
I know, but I don't think that was the case. No. I think she's just, very direct.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's refreshing. I would never do it to anyone.
No, that was, I would be shocking to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Good deal.
Am I speaking to Miles the You Betcha guy and Charlie Barron?
Yes, you are. That is confirmed. I can confirm it from the Charlie Barron standpoint, Miles.
Yes, you are. What do we got on the line?
That's good. We are outside. We have you surrounded. We're asking you to come out with your hands up.
All right.
Drop the money on the...
We've had this before. All right, Charlie, let's go outside. Let's deal with this again.
The jig is up.
Oh, you had this before?
Well, it's
how we got robbed the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel a little less original now.
No.
You're the first one on this podcast. We're talking in real life. This has happened to us, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the first one to call in a robbery, which is very creative.
Oh, Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, why not?
So what's your name?
My name is Lucas, and I'm from the Chicagoland area.
Okay. Oh. Lucas, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
For sure, for sure. So in a few months here, I'm going to be turning 21, and I was curious as to plan my 21st birthday. What should I do?
You know, very interesting you call and ask this question. We had another fella call with that exact same question. He worked on an orchard. And I think the advice we're going to give you is going to be much different than the advice we gave to him. So let's start off with some basics about you. Have you ever consumed an alcoholic beverage before?
Does the wine at church count?
Yeah, no. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was smart.
Are you a Catholic?
I am.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's a good Catholic guy.
He's a good Catholic. Definitely not lying at all right now.
He's not lying. He does not need to go to confession after this.
Why would I lie?
Well, because you can go confess it after this and then pretend you
didn't. You know what? That is very true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well, it's good that you're abiding by all of the laws of the United States of America. You've never drank anything other than the church wine before your 21st.
Yeah.
So that's smart.
No, sir.
Good on you.
Very smart.
What are you a? Do you think you don't know yet? Do you think you'd be a beer or a booze fella?
You know, I feel like just going off of a hinge here. Not too sure where it's coming from, but I feel like beer would be more my speed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what kind of beer you're thinking?
I mean, maybe, just throwing this out there, maybe Bush. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I can't recommend that one enough, you know? So I think that you're on the right track already, so that's smart.
Have you heard of Leinenkugel's?
Yeah.
You know, you're down there in Chicago. There's, did you say the suburbs of Chicago or Chicago proper?
I'm part of the suburbs.
Okay, got it.
We like to say we're part of Chicago, but we're not.
Got you. That's why you said Chicagoland. Well, listen, I think whatever you decide to drink, sounds like it's going to be beer, whatever they have on tap or bottle or cans or whatever. You're going to want to find the right bar to have your 21st birthday in. Have you found that bar? Have you scoped it out and planned that yet?
I have. It is one that my father goes to sometimes with his buddies. And, you know, it's kind of just like this small hometown tucked away. And, you know, I figured it'd be very fitting to go with my dad there.
What's the name of it? That's great. So you're celebrating your 21st with your dad.
Yes. Yes.
This is so wholesome. Between the most you've drank is the wine at church, and now you're spending your 21st with your dad. I love it.
Now, talk to me about who else is coming. You got some buddies lined up? So, is it kind of a family deal?
Yeah, what's going on? Some buddies lined up. My mom will still refuse to accept that I'll be 21 and will probably be waiting with the breathalyzer when I come home that night to see where I'm staying at.
Okay. Well,
how often has your mom breathalyzed you?
None whatsoever, but I have a feeling that she's going to be ordering one on Amazon prior to my 21st.
Oh, wow. Well, should have her check you after church.
So it sounds like your mom's out on the 21st birthday. So this is going to be important. You're bringing some friends, you're bringing buddies, maybe a cousin, something like that, right? You got to make sure one of the guys is kind of the mom of the group since mom's not coming. Because I don't know if you know this about 21st birthdays, but you tend to get a little intoxicated at a 21st birthday. So you're going to want to make sure.
Okay, I got to write some of this stuff down.
Yeah,
write it down.
Grab a pen and paper. You're going
to intoxicated.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
More than likely you're going to be intoxicated. You want to find a member of the group who can almost act as your mom and the rest of the group's mom, just to make sure you guys are getting home safe.
Okay. Okay.
And then you'll want to have
Makes sense.
You're going to have one beer and you're probably not going to, you probably won't like the taste, but after about 100 more, you're going to get used to it. Don't do the 100. On that day.
Yeah, spread that out a little.
You'll start feeling funny after about 2-3, you know. And then from there on, you'll get what the big deal was all about. And at that point, I recommend start gambling with someone who looks more inebriated than you. Are you a big gambler?
Yeah. Me and my buddies have a poker night every Saturday.
Perfect. Incorporate poker into your 21st birthday. But
sounds like a good idea.
Everyone's going to feed you drinks, too. Feed one to the plant, okay? You're not going to be able to handle all of them, and you don't want to lose all your money in poker because you're the drunkest one.
Exactly.
Especially if it's...
Makes sense.
Yeah, does it? Okay, do you have more questions? I feel like we're leaving you a little inadequate here. Miles and I just ate monster walleye sandwiches here at the Wild Rice Bar and Grill, and they are so good, but boy.
Bogged me down a little bit.
We ate all the fries. We were so hungry. So I feel like we're leaving you.
Now you're making me hungry.
Well, that brings me to the next point about your 21st. Make sure you eat before you go out. Something to really soak it up, you know?
And by that, we're talking pizza, we're talking burger, brat, whatever it is. Something to soak up the alcohol, okay? That's going to be important. Because your stomach is going to be like, what in the hell is this, you know? So you're going to have to.
It's going to be like very. It's gonna have no idea what this is.
Yes, it's gonna be very, very confused. You got any other questions for us? Because I think we're crushing it so far.
I just really wanted to come on here and ask a quick question about what I should be doing in a few months, and just wanted to say I enjoy the content on both of your guys' end. Love the podcast. And I just hope that it continues to go well in the right direction for you guys.
Oh, thanks, you.
And I hope that your 21st birthday goes well, too. And hopefully your mom isn't too mad at you for how intoxicated you got.
Yeah.
We'll sneak in the back door. My dad and I will sneak in the back door.
That's smart.
That's good. And just put on the do not disturb thing on your doorknob until about 10 o'clock the next morning.
There you go.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in and have fun on your 21st and happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday. Enjoy it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Tell your folks I says hi.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell your folks we says hi too, all right?
All right. Have a good one, guys.
See you, buddy. It's tough giving drinking advice to people who have never drank before. Yeah, I'm realizing. I'm like, oh, geez, where do we start on this? You know, and you don't want to lead them astray.
Yeah,
that's a big responsibility.
Yeah,
I'm happy we didn't even bring up shots.
Well, you keep bringing up Leinenkugels, you're gonna lead them astray.
Oh, geez, you know I didn't even say when I said you could feed one of the beers to a plant. I didn't even make the joke about Bush being water.
I'm sorry.
I didn't do it. I left that meat on the bone. Are you really sorry or
no?
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I hope by now, by listening to the Bellied Up podcast that's presented by Fleet Farm, that you're also a frequent Fleet Farm goer, just like Charlie and I are. And this weekend actually is a pretty fun little deal they got going on. So it's only August 20th, this Saturday. Again, only this Saturday, they got a balloon popping event. I see a balloon, I want to pop it. This is the perfect event for me. The first 300 customers that come in and pop a balloon, all you got to do is you go grab some stuff in your cart, you go to the balloon section, wherever the balloon section is, and you pop it, and inside there's a discount. They range from 10% all the way up to 100% off. There's one lucky customer on Saturday that's going to get their entire cart for free. That should be you. So you got to go early because they're going to go fast. The balloons are going to get popped real nice and early. So all you got to do is go to the store, pop a balloon, get a ticket. Everything in your cart's going to be whatever percent off that is, and we're gonna be feeling pretty good when we pop that 100% off balloon. I can just feel it. You Bellied Up listener is gonna do it. So again, August 20th, head to Fleet Farm, pop a balloon, save some money, baby. So head to Fleet Farm. Cheers. Hello,
how's it going?
Who do we got on the line?
This is Connor.
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just working away.
Where do you work at?
I live down in Jackson, Michigan.
Okay. Well, why don't you belly on up to the bar with us and tell us what's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering if I could get your guys' opinion on something.
Yeah. We are here to offer solicited opinions and unsolicited.
All right. So here it is. So I'm a member of a deer camp in the Upper Peninsula.
Good for you.
And we are. Yep. That's where I'm from originally, Sault Ste. Marie.
You're a youper.
Yes, sir.
Miles is proud he knew that terminology.
No, what do you mean?
I saw him smiling.
So we're rewriting some of our bylaws in our camp this year. And my question is, what are your guys' thoughts on having women at deer camp?
First of all, I love the fact that I just see a committee of blaze orange clad hunters coming up with the bylaws like the founding fathers, you know.
I actually like that. I kind of want to implement that when I go hunting, is having like a thing on the wall that you recite every first time everyone gets there and make sure everyone knows the rules, the laws.
Yeah,
I like that. Can you, before we get into that, can you tell us a few laws that you already have implemented that are currently in operation?
Great question.
Well, the laws are like, the camp was founded in 1946.
By whom? And
by, I don't know, a couple of generations back.
Got it. And thanks for being more specific.
So they aren't the founding fathers.
These are older men.
Gotcha.
And at a certain point, they became friends with my grandfather. And then my dad became a member, and then now I'm a member.
Ah, nice.
So what's some laws that you guys already got?
So let me think here. Like the laws are set up in a way so that if like originally if someone were to like die, that way their wife and family couldn't take a piece of the camp away.
You know, this is why priests ended up getting... This is why priests ended up having that rule that they couldn't get married. Initially, they were married, and then they would parcel off their church land to their kin. So, you know, I just think none of you guys can get married. I think you got to do what the priests do, you know?
So is that the only law that you guys
have? Yeah, is that the one law?
A law is like no smoking.
Okay.
No smoking in the house or no smoking at all?
No smoking inside.
Got it. But is smoking allowed outside?
So we have like smoking allowed outside, yeah.
Okay.
And then like we have rules in place to like you have to show up during the year to like, you know, fell trees and chop wood and do all that stuff.
Seems fair.
Maintenance.
Yeah, like just certain things like that. So that way there's some structure to this scenario.
Yes. And do you currently have a president, vice president, and a cabinet right now?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you on the line?
My dad's actually the president, too.
Okay. So you got some pull.
You're set. You're set.
I'm grandfathered in. I'm in for life.
Quite literally, your grandfathered in. He got in, yes. I now know why that term is a term. I now get it. Your grandfather was there, and now you are grandfathered in. That makes sense to me now.
We learn something new every day here on the Bellied Up podcast. So the initial question is, should you allow women into your deer camp?
So okay, to add a little bit more to that. Women are not allowed there during hunting season.
Gotcha. So they can come hang out in the off season.
We're allowed to invite our families, like, because we're all members, we all have rights to the property. But like for camp events, women aren't typically allowed.
Well, why not? What's gonna happen if they're there?
I don't know. They made these rules in, you know,
in the 40s,
in the 50s.
Yeah,
the 40s and 50s.
It sounds like some Mad Men stuff, you know.
You know, I think if there's still some old guys that are holding on to the old values that women can't come to deer camp, what I would do is I would just implement like a approval process to start, right? You can't just tear the Band-Aid off. There's going to be people are going to be upset, whatever. Just go, all right, you know, my wife wants to come up. You know, this is what she likes to do. I promise that she'll abide by all the laws that are already in place. you know, and get a vote on the cabinet positions on whether or not she can come. And then you got to really campaign the rest of the people who are there to let her come on up.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I think, go ahead.
I was going to say that the way that women aren't there is because these older men wanted to like probably have time away from their wives at some point.
Yeah. And I think most people gather that the deer camp is a place to get away from the family, decompress a little bit. It's not because we don't like them. It's because we just, you know, just like the gals need a wine night once in a while, the guys need to go up to deer camp, shoot some stuff, have a few beers, gamble a little bit, and then they're back being a good dad.
I think something that could be fair is because there's a lot of women, obviously, who love hunting. Maybe you do a women's week and then a men's week. You know, you split it up like that. So, you know, that way, because, a lot of people do view it as kind of a retreat, time to connect with their fellas or whatever. But I bet you the gals want to do that, too.
So, okay, here's what we could do. You could build another cabin for the ladies, the women's bunkhouse, and you can kind of both enjoy it. They can have their fun. You can have your fun, but you all are still in the same spot.
Okay. These are both great ideas.
Yeah.
I have to bring that to the next cap meeting.
Yeah. And are you going to draft this up for the, is there a submission process the way they make laws and stuff in Washington?
You have to motion it and then then someone has to second your motion and then you can like propose your new idea.
So what I would,
it's all real official.
Yeah. So what I would do, this is what politicians are doing every single day. I would draft up a proposal for something that's clearly going to get approved, right? Like something like every guy must bring 2 cases of beer for every day that you're there, right? And everyone's gonna be like, okay, I'm on board with that. And then you just, in the fine print, just slip in there that, plus my wife can come up for a couple days during deer camp as well. And just kind of throw that in at the bottom. I mean, if we know anything about guys, we're not reading past the third line of any document what's put in front of us. So just put that at the very end, real fine print. And then they're like, well, you guys agreed to it. You should have read the whole thing. It's now in the law.
That's a way that. And wow. You are talking like a Washington politician right now. Sneaking it in at the last hour.
Yeah.
Look at that. That might be the best advice we got right there.
Talk to me about how many guys are involved with this deer camp.
We have 12 members.
That's a pretty big deer camp, I'd say.
It is.
Who,
12 which, members and probably 6 or so families make up those 12 members.
Yeah. Which member do you like the least? You got one. He's got one for sure.
I don't know if I have one.
Oh, you don't?
I have beef with my dad. We can argue. Okay.
You and your dad. Yeah.
Well, that's also a law of deer camp is at some point there needs to be an irrational argument about something that doesn't matter, right?
Yes.
Right. That involves no parties. No one actually has any stake in the argument, but it's very heated.
Yeah.
Typically at the end of the night.
Yeah, and maybe you make a rule that there's no Google allowed at deer camp so that you actually have to have a real argument instead of just Googling it and ending the argument, you know?
Yeah, you got to keep it fun.
Yeah, Google kind of changed all that.
Yeah, it did. You could never get in any. You could never flip over a Scrabble board and punch someone in the face because you're arguing one thing's a word, but it's just not in the 1942 Webster dictionary, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think that Charlie and I can both get on board that I think it's time to get up with the times, allow women up to deer camp.
Right.
We do understand the hoops that you're gonna have to jump through to get that approved.
Yeah, but you know,
definitely an uphill battle.
You'll be paving the way to a new generation, and let's be honest with you. You know, if the gals want to come and you're not going to let them come, guess what's getting nixed off of the vacation time? Deer camp.
Yeah.
So you know. You know, this is a 50-50 split these days. It might have been different in the 40s and the 50s, but none of you new fellers are going to get away with that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, well, have fun, and I hope you shoot a nice big buck this fall.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we can help. Hopefully we helped out a little bit there. Just remember that you really are playing the politics game. So maybe even start offering, maybe to get it passed through, you just like, hey, I'll do an extra week of maintenance this next year. And then you bring the wife and she can help you do that.
Yeah, that is.
Or bribery. You're saying bribery is the best
okay.
way.
Also, you can say, hey, if we allow the wives to come up, we got double the hands to help do the maintenance around here.
Or you can do what they do in Washington and just hire a lobbyist to bribe the people in power. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something you can do.
Grease the wheels a little bit.
There you go. There you go. That's what makes the world go round.
Yeah. I think all these are good solutions. Just sneak it in at the bottom of the law on a, or a, what do they call it? It's like piggybacking on something else.
A rider?
Yeah, something like that. You could bribe them. There's a lot of options you got, and I think that one of them's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate all your sound advice.
Thanks for calling in, man. Yeah, we appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for talking to me today.
All right, be good.
Have a good one, man.
See ya.
I do get the getting away from the family and stuff. That's tough.
It is tough. Yeah, you just can't. I mean,
what I would do actually is I would just keep telling the old ball and chain that while I presented it and it's going through the debate process, the law just hasn't gotten passed, mm-hmm. and it just is deadlocked in the Senate or the House or whatever, and just have every year just be like, we're still deadlocked. Yeah. I'm trying to convince. I'm working hard, and then next thing you know, she'll lose interest in coming out there anyways, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, or maybe she'll say, well, Larry, his crew lets women at their deer camp. Maybe I'll just go see what Larry's up to for the rest of the weeks of the year.
That'd be bad.
Old Larry.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Or you just wait for the old guys to die.
Wait it out.
Those old guys got some fight in them.
They do. They're hanging around for a while, I think. Yeah. So that's
either
how it
way,
goes.
In between a rock and a hard place,
Yeah, I mean, just look, not to keep bringing back to Washington, but we've been waiting for some of those guys to die for a long time, Seriously.
True. No, that's true.
Jeez Louise, get the hell out of the way, Not to say if you're old, you can't make some good rules, but if you're old and you've been in there for decades and decades and decades, or in some cases just 4 years was enough, but, whatever. 4 years for everyone. Get them the hell out after 4 years. That way they can't be bought as easily.
That's true.
Look at us talking about politics.
You're talking about it, not me. Yeah. Well, Charlie, that wraps up our callers. How are you feeling about Midwest men?
I think we've got a lot to learn.
Or does the rest of the country got a lot to learn?
I don't know. I just don't want to take another caller from someone from the South saying, Midwest men, not strong. But I do think it comes from a place of, genuine concern about another human being.
It's not about the bark. It's about the bite.
That doesn't make us sound much better at all.
That doesn't sound better either.
Well, we'll work on it, Midwest men. I don't know what exactly we're going to work on, but, a step in the right direction.
Well, maybe, hey, let's meet in the middle. We were teaching her to be a little less direct. Midwest guys out there, you're looking to be dating, just be a little more direct.
Yeah.
Might be a little uncomfortable, but you can get it done.
Yeah. And don't be afraid if someone's being direct,
They're not trying to be mean to you. They're not trying to scare you. They're just trying to go on a date with you.
Yeah. Just let them. Let it happen.
Yeah. Let it happen.
Yeah.
And maybe you find the love of your life that way.
Yeah. And if not, maybe just someone whose company you'll enjoy until they break your heart for a Southern man who's more more direct.
That's not good.
Yeah.
But that'll happen,
Yeah. You just got to roll with it.
Just get back on the mini horse,
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to follow us at You Betcha, or geez, I always do that.
There we go.
And now I gave Miles a plug at Bellied Up. You can find it on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, the whole deal, the whole shebang.
Yep. And just like as always, be looking on the Instagram story, on the posts, on when we're having our next call in session. We'd love to have you call into the show and give us some advice. We'll give you some advice or buy, sell, and trade.
Love it.
And so thanks for tuning into this episode, guys. We will see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Oh, and tip your bartender.
Yes. Don't forget that.